Good evening. Thank you very much for responding to Brother Billy's suggestion. It's much easier to speak to you when you're here than when you're away at the back. However, we'll try and speak loud enough, and I hope the PA system can make up for my deficiency and that you'll all hear. I want to add my note of thanks to the choir. I very much enjoyed it, and I trust that the Lord will bless these beautiful words to all of our hearts. We're going to come tonight to probably the best known chapter in the book of Daniel, the story of Daniel in the den of lions, Daniel chapter 6. Wednesday evening we'll be going on to Daniel 7, which is in the second part of the book of Daniel. Remember, in our early study, we noted that Daniel can be divided into two almost equal sections, the first six chapters, and it's the last six chapters. The first six chapters is largely about the story of Daniel, with prophecy thrown in on two or three occasions. The last six chapters are largely the prophecies given to Daniel, and with a little history as well. So we're going to venture out on the prophetic portion next Wednesday evening, continuing on the subsequent Sundays and Wednesdays. Let's come then to Daniel chapter 6, this familiar passage. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, "We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God." Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king, and said thus unto him, "King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains, have consulted together to establish a royal statute, and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask the petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing, that it be not changed, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not." Wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open and the chamber towards Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed, and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying, and making supplication before his God. Then they came near, and spoke before the king concerning the king's decree. "Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions?" The king answered and said, "The thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not." Then answered they and said before the king, "That Daniel, who is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but makes his petition 3 times a day. And the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him, and he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king and said to the king, "Know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king establishes may be changed." Then the king commanded, and he brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spoke and said unto Daniel, "Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee." And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet, and with the signet of his lord, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spoke and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocence was found, and for in thee, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceeding glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. And the king commanded, and they brought these men who had cast down, who had accused Daniel, and cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. And the lions had the mastery over them, and gave all the bones and pieces wherever they came at the bottom of the den. And King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God, and steadfast forever, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. The Lord will bless to us the public reading of his good and holy word. Let's go together briefly to ask him to do just that. Let's pray. O God, our Father, we thank thee for this record that we have read from thy book. We thank thee for the story of Daniel. We thank thee for his faithfulness to thee and thy faithfulness to him. And we pray that as we study this together, thou wilt help us to be like him and to be more like thee. Grant us thy blessing as we meditate upon it. We ask in the peerless name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. I believe that Daniel was one of the greatest men and one of the godliest men who ever lived in our world. We studied something of his greatness and his godliness earlier in our studies in Daniel. He was obviously a very great man. He rose to the highest position in Babylon, in two empires, under several great emperors. We are told in the last verse that we read together, Daniel prospered. And that could be said over all the story of Daniel. He was a great man. But he was also a very godly man. He was one of the godliest men that ever lived. It's interesting, I've never been able to find anything in the book of Daniel, or anywhere else in scripture, that details any sin or wrong that Daniel committed. Now that doesn't mean he didn't commit sin and wrong. He himself confessed to his own sin in chapter 9, as we'll see when we come to that chapter, along with the sins of the rest of the people. But there's no record of such a sin in the book of Daniel. Moreover, as we saw in our first study on the story of Daniel, it's interesting to notice that Daniel has his name in three great halls of fame. Two in the Old Testament, one in the New Testament. Two of these halls of fame were a people, or by a person who was alive at that time, same time as Daniel. His name was Ezekiel. And he wrote two things about Daniel. His faithfulness and his wisdom, his righteousness and his wisdom. And in the New Testament, in Hebrews, his faith. These were the three halls of fame that Daniel had his name written in. He was a man of great wisdom, of great righteousness, of great faith. And we find that in this great book. Well, we're going to look at this story of Daniel, in Daniel chapter 6. There are three secrets of Daniel's life. And of course, when we read about a story like the book of Daniel, and read about his godliness and his greatness, we ask ourselves, well, what were the secrets that made his life tick? What were the keys to his greatness and the keys to his godliness? I'm going to suggest to you three keys, three secrets of Daniel's great godliness. First of all, we read in the first chapter in one of our earliest lessons, he was a man of resolute purpose. Resolute purpose. We're told that Daniel purposed in his heart that he wouldn't defile himself. A resolute purpose. Then second, we read in this chapter, in verse 10, that he was a man of regular prayer. Notice, in verse 10, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before God, as he did aforetime, as he was always doing. This wasn't just something that he put on a special occasion, it was something that was regular practice. His resolute purpose and his regular prayer. And then thirdly, his recognized piety. Notice that the presidents and the princes, those who tried to bring him down to find occasion against him, couldn't find any fault, because in verse 4 we read, he was faithful. His recognized piety. They recognized it. Even his colleagues, those who knew him probably better than most people because they worked with him, they recognized that there was no fault that they could find in him. And so he's a man of recognized piety. Resolute purpose, regular prayer, recognized piety. And that's the reason why at the end of this chapter we find that he was a man of remarkable prosperity. Look at the last chapter, last verse of the chapter. This Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. The key phrase that I want you to think of this evening to suggest, and I suggest it, is one of the secrets of the man of Daniel. It's in verse 4. Right in the middle of the verse, near the end of the verse, he was faithful. What a testimony that is. That's the testimony he had before his colleagues. That's the testimony he had before those who would like to usurp his position and take it over for themselves. He was faithful. I'm going to ask you, could you be said about you, if you're working in an office or a hospital or wherever, do the people around about you have cause to say you were faithful? That's to be true of our home lives as well. And does your family say you are faithful? That's a very important consideration that should apply to every one of us. He was faithful. Well, let's think of the word faithfulness. What does it mean to be faithful? Faithfulness is at a premium in the world today. For example, in the political realm, it's legendary. I don't know about the politics of the Bahamas, but in most countries that I've been to, Britain, for example, and in Canada, politicians are not necessarily dependable and faithful. Faithful. Their faithlessness is at a premium. They make promises, especially when they're not in office and trying to get into office. And their promises are like pie crust. They need to be broken. They're not very faithful. And that occurs in the political realm. Think of the commercial realm. How much corruption and dishonesty there is in business, in our society, in the world, I'm sure in this country as well as other countries, Canada where I live. And then think of domestic unfaithfulness. Broken vows, broken marriages, broken homes are characteristic of many societies in the West at the moment. What a tragedy it causes. Unfaithfulness. And then think of the religious situation. Preaching, denying the Word of God and its truth, and practice showing inconsistency of life, stand out in religious practices and religious realm of our society today. Faithful persons are at a premium. They really stand out like a sore thumb, although that's maybe not the apt description of faithfulness or unfaithfulness. Daniel was a youth of resolute purpose. In Daniel 6, he was a senior citizen. Daniel 1, he was probably a teenager when he resolved that he wouldn't defile himself. In Daniel 6, as we've seen him tonight and read him tonight, that's the story of Daniel as a man, probably in his 80s, maybe getting high up in his 80s, and he was still a man of faithfulness, universally recognized. So let's ask ourselves, what is faithfulness? What is the meaning of faithfulness? What does it mean to be faithful? I'm going to suggest to you, and I think by studying the scriptures we can find this, that there's a wealth and depth of significance in the word faithfulness. As a matter of fact, there are two main meanings of faithfulness. One, first of all, to be faithful is to be characterized by faith, to be full of faith. Faithful is full of faith. That's the first meaning of faithfulness. Every Christian belongs to that category. We are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the fundamental, basic characteristic of every believer. We are believers in the Lord Jesus. Therefore, we are faithful. The Apostle Paul, writing to Colossians, describes them in the very first chapter, the second verse, describes them as faithful brethren, saints and faithful brethren in Christ Jesus. In other words, this applied to all the church in Colossae. They were all believers. Therefore, in a sense, they were all faithful in that sense. When he wrote to the Ephesians, similarly, he wrote that they were the faithful in Christ Jesus. That's a characteristic of all Christians, a prime characteristic. Writing to the Galatians, the Apostle Paul said, "You are all the children of God out through faith in Christ Jesus. They who are of faith," he said, "are blessed with faithful Abraham." Abraham was a man of faith, and so he was called faithful. I believe, of course, he was also faithful in the other sense, but he certainly was a man of faith. The faith of Abraham, said Paul in Romans chapter 4, who is the father of us all. But on the other hand, the word faithful, as we generally think of it, means trustworthy, loyal, true to our word. That's the meaning of faithful, to be true and steadfast. That's a logical sequel to being faithful as a believer in the Lord Jesus. If you are a believer in the Lord Jesus, and if I am a believer in the Lord Jesus, then I should be true to my word. If I am true and believe in truth, if I am trusting the Lord Jesus, then I should be trustworthy. And so should you. Every believer who is trusting in Christ should be characterized by trustworthiness. Now we can see that as we look at the book of Daniel. I'm going to point out three phrases that occur in this book that indicate that. You may remember that in one of our early studies we found that the passage from the fourth verse of chapter 2 to the end of chapter 7 is not in the Hebrew language, as most of the Old Testament is, but it's in the Aramaic language, which was the language of the lingua franca of the time, the language of the most countries at the time. And Daniel, when he was away in Babylon, he would be acquainted with that language, and he would write to people who knew that language and who were going to be reading in that language. And so there's that, these six chapters that were written in Aramaic. Now, in these six chapters, as well as in the 20 chapters in the book of Esther and the verse in the book of Jeremiah, which are also written in Aramaic, I looked up in a strong concordance, not too difficult to do, the word that's translated faithful in verse 4. And I noticed as I studied that that word is only found two other times in the Aramaic portions of Esther, Jeremiah, and Daniel. In fact, it's not recorded in Esther or Jeremiah at all. They're all in the book of Daniel. And we can find some interesting lessons from that. The first occurrence is he was faithful in verse 4. But let's look down this same chapter. Let's turn to verse 23. Verse 23 says, in the last clause of the verse, because he believed in his God. And the word there, he believed, is the word faithful. He was a believer in his God. So there is the first meaning I suggested of the word faithful, one who believes in his God. Now just for a moment, turn back to the second chapter, another chapter that was written in the same language, the Aramaic language, and let's read in verse 45 of chapter 2. Daniel has been interpreting the dream of King Nebuchadnezzar, and at the end of verse 45 he says, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. Now that word sure is the same as the word faithful. Other translations have it trustworthy. So here's the other aspect of the word faithful. It's to be a believer, to have faith, and secondly, it is to be trustworthy. A faithful person is one who trusts, and he should be, because of that, one who is trusted. Now let's think of the first aspect of that faithfulness, which is believing, feeling faith. The Bible says, it's a verse quoted in Habakkuk, chapter 2, and verse 4, it says, the just shall live by faith. And you'll get that interesting verse three times in the New Testament, in the book of Romans, in the book of Galatians, in the book of Hebrews. It's interesting to study these, but we haven't time to do that tonight. But the just shall live by faith. And faith is a characteristic of the Christian life, from very first to the very last. It's something that we do when we are converted. We receive by faith, and we should live by faith throughout the rest of our lives. We don't become a Christian at birth. We don't become a Christian simply by living in a Christian home. We don't become a Christian by going to Sunday school, or even by being baptized. If we're being baptized, we should be a Christian before that. We become a Christian by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. By believing. Now what does it mean to believe? I sometimes, when I'm speaking the gospel, give the ABC of faith. The ABC of believing. For a person to believe, the first thing is, he has to admit that he is a sinner. Admit that he can do nothing to save himself. Admit that because of his sin he deserves God's judgment. Admit that he's on the way to hell because of his sin. Admit. But the second thing is the B. The B of faith is believe. Believe that the Lord Jesus is the only Savior. Believe that the Lord Jesus is the Son of God. Believe that the Lord Jesus died for your sins and rose again, and that he is able to save you. And the third word is to commit. Admit, believe, and commit. Having admitted and having believed, we have to commit ourselves unreservedly to the Lord Jesus as our personal Savior and Sovereign Lord. These are the three phases of belief. Usually we do that in one step, of course, but that step involves these three things. And all our faith is in the same process. All our faith is evidenced by our believing, by our admitting our need of Christ day by day, by believing that he is there and able to help us, and by committing ourselves unreservedly to him for our daily salvation from sin and its consequences in our lives. Now, Daniel's faith was evidenced. Let's think of how it was evidenced. We'll think of how it's tested in a moment. Think of how it was evidenced. Let's look at verse 10. Verse 10 says, Daniel prayed and gave thanks before his God. That was in full knowledge of the edict. In full knowledge that the edict had gone out from the president, from the prince, Darius, the king of the Medo-Persian Empire, had gone out, writing that was signed, had gone out, that all who prayed to any god other than the president, Darius, was to be cast into a den of lions. Well, many people always say, well, I'm not going to let people see me praying. But Daniel didn't say that. Daniel went into his own house, and with his windows open to Jerusalem, he prayed, as was his custom, in the full knowledge of this evening. That's the kind of man he was. It was evident in the fact that he was prepared to stand for God and to stand for his faith in God. And then there's another verse, verse 23, let's look at it in the same chapter that shows evidence of his faith. We are told that after he was brought out of the den, at the end of verse 23, no manner of hurt was found on him because he believed in his God. So there was the evidence by which his faith was recognized. He believed in God and God delivered him in the time of testing and time of trial. And the very fact that he was delivered from the lions, in the lion's den, was evidence that he was a man of faith. And Hebrews 11 confirms this. Remember that great chapter of faith, we read not Daniel's name, but Daniel's deed. We read that he, through faith, stopped the mouth of lions. The accusers of Daniel were the very opposite. Look at the end of verse 24. We are told that the lions had the mastery of them, and they broke all their bones in pieces, wherever they came, at the bottom of the den. So it is very clear that Daniel was a man of persistent faith in the Lord Jesus. It was evidenced by his prayer life and by the fact that he resisted the king's command. Now let's notice that Daniel's faith was tested. It was tested. 1 Peter 1:7 says, the trial or test of your faith being much more precious than the gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire. We saw in a previous lesson, I think it was last week, that the Christian life is a school life. And in a school life, there are always tests to go through. And every one of us faces these tests in the course of our lives, right from the beginning to the end. In fact, the hardest tests come to those who are the best students. And if you're growing in the Christian life, the tests don't become less, they become harder to face. They're reserved for the best scholars. For example, Abraham, he was one of the great scholars in the faith. He was a man of faith. He was the one who had the greatest test, the test that the Lord gave him when he asked him to offer up his son as a sacrifice, as a burnt offering. And God doesn't always or often ask us to do that, but he certainly asks us to do many things. Daniel's test started early in his career, when he was right at the very beginning of his life in a foreign land. And we are told that he resolved, he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the food of the king and the wine which he drank. He purposed there. It must have cost him a lot. I believe it's possible, and I think I said this before, that this may have been the hardest test that Daniel faced. If he faced that test and passed it, he was more able to face this test, which he faced on this particular occasion. He was then far from home in a heathen city. His land was ravaged, his city was in ruins, his temple was destroyed. Nearly 70 years had passed, and there was no sign of God intervening. Daniel was now over 80 years, and he still prayed to God, he still trusted in God, and he was delivered from the lion's den. As we saw last week in connection with the three men in the fiery furnace, God didn't save them from the lion's den or the fiery furnace, but he saved Daniel in the lion's den, and saved him through the lion's den, and saved him out of the lion's den. He saved him and delivered him in all these circumstances. Daniel trusted in God, even in the den of lions. We read that in verse 23. He believed in his God. D.L. Moody wrote something rather amusing. Daniel fell asleep using the back of a tawny lion as his pillow. And he had a more comfortable night, Daniel did, with the lions in their den, facing destruction by the lions, than did the king have in his palace. He had a sleepless night. He couldn't sleep at all. Daniel trusted in God. The king didn't know whether God could save him who trusted in him. So we read about Daniel. Daniel's faith was evidenced. Daniel's faith was proved or tested. And Daniel's faith was recognized. Let's see how it is recognized. That's what was recognized by Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel chapter 2. We read, "Your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings." Nebuchadnezzar never recognized Daniel's faith. It was recognized by Darius in this chapter. Look at verse 16. When the king commanded and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions, the king spoke and said to Daniel, "Your God, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you." He obviously recognized Daniel's faith in this God. It was recognized also by God. Daniel's faith was recognized by God because God delivered him from the lion's den. So much for the faith of Daniel. Now just a few moments as we close, let's think of Daniel's faithfulness. Daniel's faith indicated that he trusted, and faithfulness indicated that he was trustworthy. He could be trusted. It's seen throughout the life story. And it's seen particularly in this chapter, Daniel chapter 6. Let's read again verse 10. When Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. I think that's a wonderful verse. Shows the kind of man Daniel was. He could easily have closed the window, couldn't he? He could have said, "Well, I'm going to keep on praying, but I'll close the window so nobody will see me pray." He determined not to do that. He could have done more than that. He could have said, "Well, until this passes over, I'm not going to pray to God in case they find me anyway." But he didn't do that. He did exactly what he would have done, even if there had been no edict. He had made it his habit in life to pray 3 times a day. The people knew that. They all recognized that. Sometimes we try to hide our habits like that to the people whom we know. When we're with them, we don't. Sometimes we feel it a bit difficult to bow down in prayer, especially young people going to college, or young people going to the forces. Sometimes difficult thing to get down in a bunk beside other young people and pray, and we don't know whether they're believers or not. Well, Daniel was prepared to do that. It didn't change his lifestyle, his decree. It was his practice, it was his habit, it was the way he lived that he prayed 3 times a day. And he gave thanks. That was his habit. I trust all of us have a habit of praying, not just once a week, but every day that we should pray. The poet has put it, "Our fathers, chained in prison's dark, were still in heart and conscience free. How sweet would be their children's fate if they like them could die for thee. Faith of our fathers, holy faith, we will be true to thee till death." You no doubt heard of Polycarp. Polycarp was one of the early Christian fathers. He was a disciple of the Apostle John. He was martyred in 150 AD. He was given the choice of worshipping Caesar or martyrdom. If he went on, if he refused to worship Caesar, he was going to be killed. This was his reply. 86 years have I served Christ, and he never did me any injury. How can I blaspheme my King and my Savior? What a testimony that is. I wonder what we would have done. This testimony, this faithfulness of Daniel, was recognized by the king. Let's notice verse 16, the end of the verse. Thy God, whom thou servest continually. That's what the king said about him. They recognized him, as did the people who charged him, as being a servant of the Most High God. I trust people whom we meet day by day recognize that we are the servants of God, not necessarily by us telling them, but without us telling them, that we should be recognized as servants of the Most High God. But he was also faithful to men. Not only was he faithful to God, but he was faithful to men. That is, in all his actions, he was recognized in his devotion to duty, the fact that he carried out his responsibility. Well, the king recognized that. Verse 3 of the chapter, he's told, this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to put him over the whole realm. The king recognized in this man Daniel somebody who was devoted to his work as well as to his God. That should be characteristic of all of us. That was recognized by his colleagues as well. Verse 4, the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. They could find no occasion of fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. His colleagues couldn't find any fault in him. And they recognized that his life was governed by obedience to God and by faithfulness to God. What kind of person are you? What kind of testimony have you in your work? Them that honor me, we've spoken several times in these studies, them that honor me, I will honor. This is that assurance to Eli in the Old Testament is equally valid to us in our day. God still honors them that honor him. He said about his people of old, no weapon formed against thee shall prosper. That is true of his church today. God will honor those who honor him. Dare to be a Daniel. Dare to stand alone. Dare to have a purpose burning. Dare to make it known. Let's pray together. O God, our Father, we thank thee for this man Daniel and for the example he has set for us. We thank thee for his faithfulness, for his faith and trust in thee, and for his trustworthiness in all that thou commanded, in spite of the edicts and commands of men. We pray that thou wilt help us to be like him, inasmuch as he was like thee. We pray that thou wilt help us supremely to be like the Lord Jesus. We know that he experienced the slights and the rights of men, the storm of criticism and condemnation that they leveled at him, and ultimately the cross of shame that he endured. Help us, we pray thee, to be like him, to serve him faithfully, and for thy glory. Grant us thy blessing as we separate. We've begun a new week now. Help us to use it for the glory and the honor of the name of our Lord Jesus, for we ask in that holy and precious name. Amen. Maybe we could take a minute or two just to sing a couple of verses of that hymn, number 583. 583. Standing by a purpose firm, heeding God's command, that is true, heeding God's command, honor then the faithful few, all hail to Daniel's band, dare to be a Daniel. We'll sing the first and last verses, and then the service will be over. Verses 1 and 4, 5, 8, and 10.